And welcome to the Tales of Longbox podcast. This is episode 354, spotlight on Marvel Comics Avengers number one. Yes, another Avengers number one, circa 2018. Yes, this is the last episode that I'm re-recording because of our Caleb and I's wonderful recording was corrupted, which does happen from time to time. Wasn't near awake enough to be doing anything anyway, so here we are. Starting off with a new fresh start, their fresh start initiative, New Avengers by Jason Aaron, Ed McGuinness, Mark Morales, and David Curiel. I think that's how you say it. And when we talked on the episode, I commented on how many times they've been rebooted. I'm looking at my archives here and see at just on the ones that I have, you know, actually collected in the archives, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Avengers. See, 1998, 2010, 2013, and just 2 years ago, 2016. That was the Mark Waid run, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check. Yes, the one that, you know, they had Spider-Man, and it was all replacement heroes, as they called it. Legacy heroes, like Jane Foster as Thor. Hercules was in there. You got Captain America was Sam Wilson, so on and so forth. Well, here is, as they say, we're getting the band back together. And kind of, it's closer to getting things closer to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, you got on the cover here with, I love the art Ed McGuinness's job. You got Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider to the left, which he was kind of in a TV Shield, I believe, show. You got She-Hulk, who has apparently at Civil War II, she's more like the Hulk, where she changes and it's a little bit, you know, less control of it. She's not She-Hulk all the time. You got the Tony Stark Iron Man. You have the hold on, let me mute my phone. You have the Tony Stark is Iron Man again. He's out of his coma. You got Black Panthers on the cover. You know, from it's very successful movie. You got Steve Rogers is back as Captain America. Thor is back with a missing arm instead of a missing eye. I'm not sure when it happened. Caleb mentioned something about that, but I don't remember. He doesn't have his original hammer. He's got some other hammer. And, of course, we have, and I kept saying Ms. Marvel, but it's Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. She's going to be, her movie's coming up pretty soon. So, here we go. We get into it. It shows Earth 1 million years ago, and this is a nice little piece here. And you have Agamotto, which, as in the Eye of Agamotto, apparently he was the first Earth Sorcerer Supreme. You have the Ghost Rider from that period, who had a mammoth instead of a motorcycle or a car. You have some kind of caveman aboriginal, maybe, due to the color of his skin. I don't know. Well, anyway, he's Star Brand. And then you have a female Iron Fist. You have probably the original Black Panther. And one of my favorites is the Phoenix Force, and she's in a redhead body, looking very like Jean Grey. And then here we are, Odin with the original hammer, Mjolnir, or however the hell you say it. I was corrected several times. And he's got a big old horn full of mead, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, I have a somewhat Norwegian ancestry from what I've been told, and mead is the shit, ladies and gentlemen. It is good stuff. I've been drinking local from a local brewery lately. It's good stuff. Really good stuff. Still have a headache from last night. But anyway. Alright, sorry. Get my caffeine intake. And there, you know, he's being all somewhat maudlin and says, Here's to endings and to good deaths for us all, Odin says. Phoenix is like, is now really the time for drinking, Odin? I would imagine your two eyes work better than my one, Lady Phoenix, so I assume you can see what stands before us. In which case, this is a very good time for drinking. The Starbrand wishes to know what is the strange liquid that smells of sweetness and fire. Yeah, this is... Sweetness and fire is right. Ah, if you thought fire was a fine gift of the gods, then here, ape man, try fermentation. I'm just sorry I'm only giving it to you now on the eve of our destruction. Destruction? We killed one of these things before, Ghost Rider says. So anyway, they go back and forth. Odin is not... He's very maudlin. He thinks it's going to be the end. It's a big deal. You know, the Sorcerer Supreme Agamotto recommends this is it was says it was infected even with something even the Sorcerer Supreme cannot explain. These new ones are not, and they know what we've done to their compatriot. Iron Fist says, well, we acted in self-defense. Anyway, you know, Starbrand's ready to go, and all, you know, the mead is 4,000-year-old Asgardian mead, I must say. The drink of my ancestors. The Neanderthals, cavemen, are walking up to it, and that might be why everything's so bad now. Phoenix is saying, are you not going to even fight? You know? And he's like, Odin Borson has never walked away from a fight in his entire immortal life. I will fight until I've drenched the battlefield with every last drop of my holy blood. Until my flesh is burned away and there's nothing left of me but bones and thunder. I will fight until the final twilight, until the end of all that ever was. And then, once it's all been laid to waste, my spirit will find yours in the void, my lady, and make love to you in the ashes of eternity for a billion years. And we will build creation again, you and I. And apparently a little love thing going on, which I thought was really cool. A fine idea, my dear Asgardian. Or perhaps we simply kill anything that dares stand in our way, be it man or god or giants from the stars. And he's about to throw his hammer. He says, gods, I love that woman. Come, Monjolnir. Ragnarok awaits. So they go in, and off they go. Agamotto, use your magic eye and tell us if there is any hope at all for us to claim victory this day. That depends, Iron Fist, on what you mean by victory. If you're hoping we can save the world, I would ask you, save it from what exactly? And you see pictures of the Neanderthals going for the mead. The Earth's greatest enemy might very well be the thing we fight to protect here today. A nascent life slowly flowering around us, and that includes us. If you're asking me if there's a chance we will prevail in this battle, I believe you already know the answer. Those of us gathered here today are the impossible in physical form. Gods and mutants and monsters, cavemen with the powers of the stars. We are without a doubt the mightiest force ever assembled upon the face of this primitive planet. But no, we will not be enough, not even close, not to win. And then you see this huge picture, and there's three Celestials. And this is pretty much like we were saying in the Justice League episode that I just posted. That the restarting the Avengers and the restarting of the Justice League is very similar stories. The difference being these cosmic gods are well established in the Marvel Universe. And as the last scene from that page and more exposition, you see the Neanderthals starting to fight over the mead. If there's anything to fight over, that would be one. And they're about to fight these things. So, off we go. Now, alright, sorry. More caffeine. And then we go to the one of the splash pages. And there comes a day unlike any other, when Earth's mightiest heroes found themselves united against a common threat. On that day, the Avengers were born. To fight the foes no single superhero could withstand. Earth's mightiest heroes. Avengers. The final host by Jason Aaron and Ed McGuinness, which Ed McGuinness did excellent work. The Avengers were created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Let's do some others here. Mark Millas, inker. Color artist David Curiel. Letterer VCs Corey Petit. Cover, Ed McGuinness, Mark Millas, and Justin Ponzer. And there's a whole bunch of variant covers, which I think I tried to track down and had trouble, but that's okay. Now, we're into the present Earth. Now, see three drinks in front on a thing. Somebody says, there you go, boys. Beer, mead, and a Shirley Temple. Can I get you fellas anything else? I think all that'll do for a start. Thanks. And for those of you that don't know, Tony Stark is an alcoholic. It was back in the late 70s, early 80s they did that. They were doing that kind of thing, you know, trying to push boundaries. It's still in the character. I think that's a good thing. And they look more like their movie characters now. And you have a Toast Brothers, Thor says, to seizing the day by its own damn throat. To the future, one without me in a coma. See, it's all about Tony. To the good old days, to the Avengers. One drink, Steve. We couldn't even get through one drink without you saying the A word. I am through with my drink. Bartender, another. I don't know, Tony. Feels to me like it's been a million years since I've said it, or more than that, felt it. See, a little joke there. A million years. And Tony says, well, suppose I'm still just happy to be feeling anything at all. You know, what's the opposite of me being in it? My usual amazing self and doing all sorts of amazing me stuff, being brain dead. We get it. You were in a coma for what, a few weeks? I was trapped in ice for the first 40 Super Bowls. And lately, it's a matter of opinion as to whether or not I should still be in there. That's what Steve says. And Thor, I once broke into my father's private cask house and drank myself into a stupor that lasted 9 moon turns. I've thought about doing that again every time I reach for Mjolnir, and that is no longer there. And that I probably could not lift even if it were, saying he's not worthy anymore. We make quite a trio, Hydra Cap, Coma Tony, and the Unworthy Thor. Clearly it's been a bumpy ride for all three of us lately, but we're here now, aren't we? Good as new-ish, Tony says. Tony says, I have a working brain and new armor. Thor's got new hammers. Cap is the same old Cap again. What more do we need? Cap says, you know what we need? We need to put it all back together. Steve, I'm not sure we're the ones to do that anymore. Times have changed. So have we, Tony. Thor's drinking his mead. Then we should recognize when it's time to step aside. We did that. Now it's time to step up again in the way only we can. I have to agree. We're not as special as we used to be, Tony says. Did I really just say that? I could give you 20 names off the top of my head, Steve, people who could take what we built and make something completely new and exciting from it. That's almost a meta Easter egg. Sometimes what old is new again, story. Story of my life, Steve says. We'll have to do this, Tony, sooner or later. We always have to. We need to be ready. And they continue talking. We've tried before to be ready for everything. That got unwieldy and got awful expensive. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking lean, with us at the core like it was in the beginning, Steve says. Tony says, in the beginning, it just happened. It wasn't us. It was actually more Loki than us. And who says it was to be the three of us anymore? Thor slams his glass down. Slam! Thor, God of Thunder, says, and I love this real serious shot, as the stars are my witness, it must be us. We need this. Now more than ever, we three need one another. We cannot run from that, my brothers. We must embrace it. Okay, so, wow, suddenly being clinically dead has a nice soothing ring to it. And he continues on. So tell me something, Captain and Tennille. since you two seem to have this all figured out. Exactly who the hell am I supposed to be embracing this time around? We'll know when we know. Thor says, right now I need another drink. Tony says, well, then that's just great. So I guess it's decided by you two ancient farts at least. So, I suppose all we have to do is sit around here and wait for some startling new calamity to suddenly and then on cue from his watch. Sorry to be this sort of AI that interrupts your angry soliloquies, Mr. Stark, but I'm afraid I already have some rather alarming news. Tony says quietly, sometimes I hate my own mouth. Go ahead, motherboard. Your satellites are detecting multiple energy fluctuations in near orbit. Massive fluctuations. Quite ludicrously massive, actually. All of unknown origin. Well, then I guess it's that's it, Avengers. You say those words, Rogers, and you can pick up Thor's tab yourself. The Prince of Asgard can pay his own debts. Do they accept rune stones? Deep breath. Keep telling yourself you missed this, Tony's saying. All right, which way, motherboard? Roughly 200 miles, sir. Straight up. Okay, then meanwhile, 2 miles straight down beneath the plains of South Africa, we have Doctor Strange and Black Panther. Suddenly, straight up. All right, it's an impressive dig site, and in the middle of a very cradle of civilization, no less. But I do not hope you didn't summon me here with archaeology in mind. I'm afraid I'm not that sort of doctor, T'Challa. It's not the ancient remains in this cave that I felt warranted the attention of the Black Panther and Doctor Strange. It's the fresh ones. Ah, I see. It's a dead body sitting there. Those were the lead archaeologists for this dig. Experts in the early Paleolithic period. It's a surprisingly high-risk field, archaeology. You never know what sort of cursed tomb or crashed scroll ship you're liable to uncover next. And T'Challa says, that's not what they found. Their discovery emitted an incredible amount of cosmic radiation, even though it'd been here for a million years. It burned those men alive and then somehow disappeared completely. What is it? That's what I need you to tell me, Doctor. And he's doing his magic thing, and he's got a third eye that looks like the eye of Agamotto. There was definitely magic in this place. Spells designed here and to keep others out. Very old magic. By the hoary host of Hoggoth, it was Agamotto's magic. He was Earth's very first Sorcerer Supreme. What happened to those spells? Why did they fail? Strange says, all magic died recently during my battle with a group of science cultists called the Empirical. The spells here were so ancient, they would have never reconstituted. As for the thing that they were meant to guard, it was something quite large, something alive. Its fear still stains these walls, fear and loneliness and rage. I think I commented when the first thing said it sounded like my marriage, but anyway. I agree that whatever it was massive, at least 600 meters long by my estimates. So the question then becomes, where did it go? If it's 2,000 feet long, translating it for us Americans, I don't think I escaped through these holes. And they're looking at a bunch of holes. No, but something did. I sent a probe down into one 4 hours ago. It was 200 miles deep and still going when it became inoperable. Melted, no doubt. The deeper you go, the more it's like the surface of the sun down there. And I like this magic and technology blending that they got here. It's a nice little touch. Continue talking, and Black Panther's using the sensors in his suit. The deeper we go, the closer we are finding answers. I've seen this movie before, you know, Strange says. One of these things that blows up in our faces if we go blundering in and maybe blow up the Earth along with it. You need the Avengers on this, T'Challa. There are no Avengers, Steven. The symbols on that cave wall date back to the Stone Age. Mine is among them, and so is yours. whatever's happening here, Doctor, we are already involved, and we have been for a very long time. I will see you below. So he jumps through one of the deals. Great. So if anybody needs me, I suppose I'll be at the center of the earth. Next we go to Hill Rock Heights, East L.A. Caleb commented that the kid in the wheelchair is very whiny. I haven't read that, so I don't know, but he's talking about the car. It's wearing himself, and he's just like, hey, give me a ride, and he's trying to, it's like, I need to figure some things out, and there's a nice reflection. He's got his hand, he closed the lid of the Dodge Charger, bless you, and he's got his hands on the hood of the car, and then his reflection is the Ghost Rider, and that's a nice touch. Whoa, pardon me. I haven't had my coffee yet. Next we see a woman, she's walking / jogging, listening to headphones. It says Manhattan, the Upper West Side. And of course, you got these guys harassing the women. Hey, baby, you need some company? Big scary place. And he's like, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. And he walks up about to touch her, and she turns around, and she's almost hulked out. Come on. He said, leave me alone. And he took off. Just keep walking, Jennifer. Don't hulk out. Just keep walking. Don't hulk out. Just keep walking. Okay. Now we go to Alpha Flight Station, headquarters of Earth's Planetary Defense Agency. And I'd asked if that was the original Alpha Flight. Apparently, after we recorded the episode, and we talked about it in today's episode that I just posted, that apparently they have co-opted that, and she's part of the team. Danvers Station, I'm in the field analysis, and she's out there. So energy levels are still rising within the anomalies. We're nearing hypernovae territory. In other words, each of those things is churning with the power of several trillion Hiroshimas. And we're in space seeing a big old huge rift, it looks like. No consensus on what they are. Quantum division theories, it's a teleportation lattice. A few hundred active hyperspace warp holes, which shouldn't be possible on such a scale. I have eyes on one, she says. Looks possible to me. Is something coming through them? That's part of the theory, but energy blooms don't match any alien culture we've ever cataloged. Well, whoever they are... whoops, I missed something. Missed a page. I'm in position to punch them back to wherever they came from. Typical Marvel. We're not going to figure it out. We're going to punch it in the face. I really have no idea where her powers are coming from now. Anyway, so she's flying out there. And she's up there. She's up in the big boy level with Thor and everything else for her power. She's about to get up to it. They're trying to tell her to get out of there. Wait, son of a... Son of every global alarm. We got... It's not an alien armada. What? How can you tell? Just do it now. And it's like a big hand. And, of course, it's a celestial. Mr. Stark. And we're back to the three. Stark, these energy anomalies in orbit, they're all suddenly spiking. And they look very much like teleportation nexuses. Short them out. Use every Stark satellite and disruptor drone we've got in orbit. I've already tried that. It doesn't appear to be working. Whatever's causing this, it's a technology far beyond anything we've ever encountered, which they always say that. But we've got to get up there, Cap says. You said to meet at a bar in the village, not the moon. The Quinjet, this Quinjet isn't capable of space travel. And Thor says, I am. Tony's like, no, wait. Tony, forget your apprehensions about us. We don't have time to... Damn it, Cap, I'm saying we don't need to go up there because whatever just popped through that portal is already coming down to us. And we're back to the super twins of Doctor Strange and T'Challa. He used a teleportation portal. We're miles below the surface. If it weren't for my magic, the pressure here would crush me into a puddle of goo and then the air would get that... set that goo on fire. How are you not Oh, never mind. I nearly forgot. You're the Black Panther. So that's probably his suit he's wearing. They're not of this world, T'Challa says. They seemed obvious. That seems obvious. And there's like a whole... They look like... they look like the Bottle Cities in Brainiac's ship from Justice League. Looks as if they're... Been here for quite a while. I'm picking up no life signs. They read as dormant. Yes, to me as well. And then we flash back to the Ghost Rider. I haven't slept in days. You know why? Because I'm afraid, you know, and he's talking about how, you know, he's afraid that the thing and the stuff, is this demon-possessed car is going to take over his body and go wherever, because, you know, they did end up in Africa fighting Starbrand. Something happens outside. Says, what's that sound? Is it an earthquake? I don't think so, Gabe. Just stay inside. And then these space bugs come out. So he's like, okay, fine. If you're from hell to repossess the car, go ahead. But if you think you're going to lay a hand or claw on whatever on my family, let me tell you, you're about to have some hell of our own right here and now, thanks to the Ghost Rider. So he turns into Ghost Rider, and that's an awesome look. And he starts kicking alien, I don't know what kind of bugs they are. Cosmic bugs, I guess. Cosmic bugs. That sounds right. Cosmic bugs it is. That have been dormant. They're not anymore. Back to down miles below the Earth. Something's happening. What was your first clue? Strange says. Alpha Flight's global warning was just triggered. There's some sort of disturbance in orbit. And there's about to be one here. My strange sense, air quotes, is tingling something fierce. We should just get out of here, T'Challa. And then all of a sudden, they found some of them that were open earlier, which I think I skipped over. Yes. Strange had saw them and said, though some of them did not get the memo. And that's when they pop up. All right, back. The things are starting to pop out, and they start attacking the boys. Now, back to Manhattan in the Founders. What in the... It's coming down. Hold on. What in the world was that? Steve says. Nothing of this world, I assure you, Thor says. Landed on the edge of the Hudson. I'm taking us down. Now, see, that's a 2,000 foot long huge celestial that fell. Ymir's bones, it's celestial, a race of ancient star-spawn supergiants who judge and destroy entire worlds. That is what they call exposition. All three of them know that already, so there's no reason to say that out loud. But if you're new, they say that. So, anyway. And then somebody says, yeah, and look, it's not alone. You see Carol Danvers down there, and her suit's all torn up. You find out she guided it down, keeping it from... falling, and she goes, oh, hi, boys. Looks like you picked the right time to get the band back together. Captain Marvel, are you all right? Danvers, did you just kill that celestial? No, it was dead when it came out of the portal. All I did was keeping it from landing on Times Square. Well done, Lady Marvel. No time to stand around and pat each other's backs. The portals that thing came out of, there are 100 more like it, and you see more celestials falling to Earth. And she couldn't have stopped them all. So you start seeing pictures of celestials all over the world. Egypt, one fell on the London Bridge. You got another one in some other city. Destroyed a bunch of buildings. It's a newscast. This is Alpha Flight to Earth. Actually a broadcast. Anyone on the surface who can hear us. Stand by for incoming. There are giant dead bodies falling from the sky all over the globe. Bodies that are 2,000 feet long. We've fired everything in our arsenal at him, but we can't even dent their armor. We don't know what to say except, gods be with you down there, people of Earth, if there are any gods left alive after today. So then we start going around the world and see what's going on, and the Founders, they're starting to get going. Thor, go! It's raining dead celestials, Steve. I've seen everything there is to see, and then some. And Tony's getting his armor going, and Steve is doing a Superman thing and ripping his shirt off to see the Captain America underneath. 1 second, I have a drink. And you see there's four panels long-wise, or vertical. and you see them, and then you see Ghost Riders fighting bugs, and then you see Black Panther and Strange is fighting bugs, and Captain Marvel's trying to stop Celestials from falling on people, and you see Carol Danvers standing there. Not Carol Danvers, Jen, the She-Hulk, de-Hulked, standing there. And all of a sudden, you see there's a nice page of Thor going up. Odin's blessed beard. Somebody asked the question, and that was Steve probably. Celestials are so mind-bogglingly all-powerful. What the hell is strong enough to kill them? Oh, actually, that was Tony. I think that question was just answered for you, Tony. Looks like it was, Steve. And then you see Earth's now the final host. And we see some more Celestials, and they're new and ugly, and they look different. One of them looks like the bugs that were left on the planet that were. Yeah, they do. They look like that. Anything else you want to add before we do this, Captain America? And, you know, they're ready. Only one thing comes to mind, Iron Man, then say it, and then let's get to work. Thor says, aye, all right. Avengers Assemble! And to be continued. You know, that was actually good. Now, and they did brought a lot of good. Now, I've already read the second one. It was real good. There's a lot of, you know, obviously the similarities between the two are very obvious. I have a feeling, I don't know, that story seemed like it was more thought out. The more I read Justice League No Justice, it's just confusing. I liked it the first time I read it. You know, that's all in the other episode. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm looking forward to reading more. The second episode issue was just as good. Looking forward to reading more. And I'll be glad when the other one gets done so we can get the new Justice League and all the other stuff and the new Titans and all that good, wonderful stuff. That's about it. Kind of a short episode. I wish we could have saved the other one because it was actually a good one. I had a good time. But, you know, those things happen. So now we have our missing episode as is posted. And anyway, as always, you can send us an email at podcasttalesofthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can send, join us on Facebook. Thinking about putting up a Discord channel. If you're a gamer, you know what that is. If not, well, you know. Anyway, so, yeah. You can also comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week. And we are out.